The show, sponsored by Straight Realty, your St. Louis area experts. Why pay more than four? 314-441-4444.
Welcome, my friends, to the show that never ends.
This is The Show.
Come inside, the show's about to start.
Now, Kevin Wheeler, Amy Marks-Kors, Chris Ronji on KMOX.
Good morning. Welcome in. Good to be with you on the show. Amy, Chris, Kevin hanging out. We have a whole lot to do today, man. We're going to get our Cardinals hit in a little bit later on. Got some serious stuff. We got some fun stuff. I think personally, you guys, I think we voted on this in the office beforehand. We decided to start with the serious breaking news of my experience at the Maverick movie last night.
Wheeler saw Top Gun. After hating the original Top Gun.
Hated. And we got to figure out here. Hold on. Go ahead. You can keep going.
I was just going to say.
I got to look this up. I got to look something up.
So Ronj and I had a great idea, though. We really wanted to accidentally find the theater where you and your lovely wife went to see Top Gun, because it's not our fault if we accidentally show up at the theater or if we accidentally find the seats behind you, which would have been fun.
Were you in Chesterfield?
I was. How could you tell? The picture?
Yeah.
That looks like the front of the theater at the Chesterfield Mall?
Yep.
Which is where you hang out all the time?
Oh, I used to.
That's your hangout.
There are no stores anymore.
You texted us the other day, like, I'm just hanging out at the mall.
Not that one. There's nothing there.
Was that when you were
buying?
Macy's.
Do you know what was there?
What?
There were people dancing in the food court. Like, line dancing.
Was there food?
No, it's just people lined up dancing.
Was there music?
There was music.
Okay.
There was like a class or something.
Oh, so it was a sanctioned event.
An event, yes.
Okay,
It wasn't a flash mob.
No, yeah. Okay.
It wasn't that.
Did you find the pants you were looking for when you were hanging out at the mall, Ronj?
No.
He was looking at cargo shorts, remember?
Lots of cargo shorts.
Amy had hot takes about cargo shorts.
Yeah, cargo shorts are the worst thing ever invented. They're a crime against humanity.
Nah,
they should not be allowed.
I don't have any, but they're fine. It's how you carry things.
Is it the number of pockets that matters?
Like, it's the below the knee or just above the knee, the number of pockets, the buckles, the buttons. It's unnecessary.
Okay, so
buckles.
So they're not cargo shorts if they don't carry cargo.
Could you repeat the question?
They're not cargo shorts if they don't carry cargo.
Yes,
is this the stance?
No.
You know what I'm saying? Because if you don't have like regular shorts that don't have all the pockets and all that.
Aesthetically, they're upsetting. That's
they're upsetting.
Yeah. They're off-putting.
You know what? She does have a point, I guess.
Thank you.
Really?
Yeah, I mean a little bit of one. I'm absolutely stunned you don't have cargo shorts.
All he has are cargo shorts.
I do. No, it's not all I have, but I do. But I'm trying to get to the definition because I have shorts that don't have extra pockets, that don't carry cargo, but they are of a similar color and design.
No, the whole point of cargo shorts are the extra pockets.
Okay, yeah, I got some of those.
It's a superfluity of pockets.
I got some of those, but I don't have many of those.
There's pockets below the knee.
Do they're necessary?
No.
They are.
Nobody needs a pocket below their knee.
If you're going to fight crime in your spare time. Wait, did I say that out loud? Dang it.
Yeah, you're a superhero. No, you're not really a superhero.
No, it's just in the evenings. I carry stuff in those pockets and I wear a hood and I talk like this.
You're the kind of guy that would carry a bologna sandwich.
I talk like this.
A bologna sandwich in the pocket below the knee.
That's pretty random.
That's very weird.
And I don't have any pockets that go below the knees.
So, Kevin, are you ready to crap?
I am a short person, though, so a lot of my shorts do come down to the knees.
Are you ready to crap on Top Gun or what?
Was I supposed to do that?
Well, that's what we just assumed you were going to do.
So I posted the poll last night after I got out of there. I posted a poll that is still going, but obviously it's going to be irrelevant here in a couple of seconds. So did everybody else make the call. You make the call. Did I like it or not? It was yep, nope, or blank no. And blank no got 16% of the vote. Nope got 11% of the vote. And yep got 73% of the vote. So people clearly thought that I came out of that liking the movie.
And
they were right.
Oh.
It was compared to the first one, it was a masterpiece. It was good. It wasn't amazing. It wasn't great. It was really good though. And it's super entertaining. And the fighter jet scenes were awesome. And Maverick was less punchable and all of that.
So if someone was a skeptic like you and not a fan of Top Gun.
And that's why I'm saying it's notable to say that I liked it because I did
exactly
not
right.
like the original.
So you would recommend it?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's a hell of a lot of fun.
What did you think about the access and the actors in the planes?
It's noticeably cool.
Yeah.
Like, you could tell.
Like, you had to have appreciated that.
It was amazing. Yeah. Yeah. I even enjoyed those scenes in the first one. I thought all the, you know, like the dog fighting stuff was cool in the first one. I just didn't like anything else. And the second one, the other stuff, the everything else is not as bad. There's one part, though, that really annoyed me.
Okay. I mean, you're not going to tell me. I don't want to know anything about the movie. It does everything to do with the plot. I don't care.
Here's the thing.
I don't want to know.
I thought it was too much.
No, don't say it.
I don't want to know. Just say there's a part that's too much.
So help me, Kevin, if you ruin this for me, I want to go in fresh.
I just thought it was too much when Maverick, who obviously loves to disobey.
Is he actually doing this right now?
Yeah, he's doing it.
He went too far when he bombed John Hamm's house.
Oh my gosh.
That was a step too far. He bombed the Admiral's house. That was crazy, dude. Nobody would do that. You'd be in jail.
You're joking.
I don't even like him. Yeah, I know.
Why is he on the show?
How could you not tell that I was going to be kidding? Well,
because you always look angry.
But
you're kidding.
You look like I do look. So I look like the guy that would spoil a movie for thousands and thousands of people listening on the radio.
Honestly, like your wife, I would want to talk to your wife and say, when Kevin proposed to you, were you like, is he proposing? Is he mad? Is this a joke?
Is he proposing or is he mad?
No.
It's one of the two.
Oh no!
How mad would you have been?
I will tell you this: the thing you would definitely learn from her, is that before 10 a.m. I'm pretty much useless. Like I'm a zombie. Yeah. Like I walk around like.
Well, Amy's weird. Your best hours are between like 4 and 6 a.m.
5 and 7:30.
That's so odd.
To go downhill at 7:30.
How mad, Kevin?
Maverick, when he bombed the Admiral's house, was bad.
So
if you were making a proposal to your wife, how mad would you have been if you were at Disney World? You wouldn't be at Disney World.
Actually, but it's potentially a Disney World thing.
My
wife loves Disney, so.
Okay. The guy who ran over and grabbed everybody's seen the video by now.
Yep.
I don't know if he's security, but he was a Disney World employee.
Yes.
And there's an area you're not supposed to take photos, but I guess these people talked their way up to it, and the guy got down on the knee.
There's a stage,
And
the background is the castle. This is Disneyland Paris.
Yep.
It's Disneyland Paris,
yes.
Okay.
So there's,
And the guy gets on one knee, gets the ring out, and out of nowhere, this Disney employee runs up, snags the ring, and runs away.
The hero of the story.
Yes, to prevent them from taking the photo.
Do you know what the most offensive part of the story is? Is this guy is in Paris. He is in Paris, and he chooses Disneyland to propose to this lady. That's the most offensive part of this story. Guys, we're in Paris, but I want it to be like we're in Paris. I want to be
not in front of the Louvre, not near the Eiffel Tower, not in front of Notre Dame.
Or a little romantic restaurant.
Yeah, in the Latin, go to Latin Quarter and hang out. You know,
let's go to American commercialism and Disney.
But, I mean, in fairness, it could be the case where the lady is a huge Disney fan.
I'd say no.
I mean, there are a lot of people that love Disney, and I mean love Disney.
It's not to go to Disneyland or Disney World. It's Disneyland Paris. Like I want to get engaged at Disneyland Paris.
Listen,
specifically Paris.
Listen,
not the one in California, not Florida. I want to go to Paris.
I am of agreement with you both. If you're in Paris, that's probably not the play. But and I can promise you. And by the way, if this applies to you, text us 314-436-7900. I know a lot of people that love Disney. Okay. To the point where that would actually be the topper.
That's so odd
to me. This is
going to
make people mad. And I just want to preface this by saying it's not you, it's me. I'm a horrible person.
Yeah.
But adults who are obsessed with Disney weird me out. I'm sorry.
Like the cartoons or, you know, Star Wars is part of Disney.
That's
so what about that?
No, more of like the couples go, they wear the ears. It says Mr. and Mrs. with the Mickey Mouse bedazzled shirts.
Maybe they're people that never had a childhood, and this is them wanting to have a childhood.
I think this is me being terrible.
Or they just like what they like.
Yeah.
It's America. You can do that. But I can also say what weirds me out, because it's America.
Well, no, Disney World Paris is not in America.
Oh, gosh. I was talking about Disney obsessed.
Mm-hmm. I know.
So Maverick's good. That's the point.
Well, I'm very happy you liked it. And you did go in with an open mind.
No, I went in not expecting to love it, and it was really good.
This is like what Congress people could learn from you.
I know. Just do something for a change.
Nearly a century of informing, entertaining, and serving St. Louis. KMOX.
Morning on the show that will go into the afternoon. You can find us in a number of ways at the show KMOX on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook right now, facebook.com/KMOX1120 if you want to see what things look like behind the scenes. It's super fun. What people really enjoy is the fist fights during commercial breaks.
It's very animated during commercial breaks.
I know. It's great. The show never stops. It's just 4 hours. We don't take breaks. We just
Amy gets angry neck.
Angry.
You know what angry neck is like? When all the veins pop out.
Yesterday, I lost my mind during one of the commercial breaks. I got all worked up about something.
I don't know.
And my arms were flailing.
It was probably Ranji.
Yeah, you look like Coco the monkey.
So wow. You kept referencing Coco.
You don't remember the Seinfeld episode? Where I you didn't really watch the show, and I know Kevin didn't watch it.
I watched it. I watched it in real time.
So when George is working at the office, and he's really upset that he doesn't get to be T-Bone. And he's in the office and...
Yeah, I probably didn't watch it that closely.
Okay. You don't remember that T-Bone episode?
I've watched like every episode and I don't remember this.
And he wanted so bad to be called T-Bone, but then they started calling somebody else in the office T-Bone and he was mad about it. And so he's in the conference room yelling at that guy and everybody else in the office is outside the conference room looking through a window. And George looks like an ape. He's doing all this. And they say, look at George, you're really giving it to... I think his name's Watkins. And he says, you know what he looks like? He looks like that monkey. So they start calling him Coco the monkey. Amy, with her arms flailing.
I spaced out. I didn't even hear that last part.
I'm bored.
Well, maybe you should listen.
Maybe we shouldn't relive sitcoms from 30 years ago.
Remember that time?
It's arguably the best sitcom of all time.
It's 30 years old.
And?
No, it's a great sitcom.
I know.
I
loved it in real time.
I went from being on Wheeler's side to being on Ranji's
yeah.
side.
Well, I mean, like, this guy's like, what are we talking about? A show that's still on every day,
our
like,
worst,
multiple times a day.
Ranji, I have terrible news.
What?
I have terrible news. Our worst nightmare. Our greatest fear, which we expressed yesterday, which is going to prison for a crime we didn't commit. Aha.
Oh, my God.
A man's life was changed after he spent 17 days in a New Mexico jail because American Airlines wrongly accused and identified him to police as a shoplifter at the Dallas-Fort Worth airport, according to a lawsuit filed yesterday as we were talking about it. So this, what's incredible is this Michael Lowe, he boarded a flight at DFW in May of 2020. More than a year later, he's on vacation. He's in New Mexico when he's arrested on warrants he had never heard of for a crime he did not commit. He spent 2 weeks in the Quay County Jail at the height of COVID-19. It was grossly unsanitary conditions. They subjected him to all sorts of indignities as they were searching for contraband in crevices. And it was...
In crevices.
I'm just trying to... Yeah.
I get it. Yeah.
That's 2 days in a row we've gone there, by the way.
To crevices.
Oh, crevices, yeah. Oh, that's Amy's fault, again.
Yes.
But this is...
Butts happen. Everybody's got one.
Well, I mean, some of us have less than others.
So they did this based on... security footage only.
Misidentified.
And misidentified. Different haircut, right? Like they don't look the same.
One wearing a mask, one not.
Right.
So it says, despite discrepancies in the appearances of the actual shoplifter and Michael Lowe, American Airlines identified him as the shoplifter. And based on that information, police issued two warrants for Michael Lowe, one for felony burglary and the other for criminal mischief. But 14 months later... with this guy having no idea that he has warrants out for his arrest, he's at a party in New Mexico visiting friends on the 4th of July. Someone calls the police because there's a disturbance. And as the police show up to the party, take everyone's information, they find the warrant, the outstanding warrant that he had no idea existed.
Did he say he wasn't even aware of the county, like Tarrant County? He's like, I've never even been there. Like, I don't know what that is. And they had two warrants for him. That's exactly what I'm talking about. But it only lasted a relative short period of time that he's in jail.
17 days.
But
that's not going.
That's not like
prison.
17 years in prison,
well,
right?
True.
That's what I'm really worried about.
Oh, cool.
Like I am so scared
this
that happens
still
to
suck,
me.
Though, and here's what I
yes, this is bad. Though.
Explain this to me, though. Like, how does he get held over for 17 days? Does he not have a lawyer? Does he not have somebody that could say at the trial, hey, by the way, my client wasn't even there. He wasn't even in the state or he wasn't a part of any of this. And by the way, why is my client being held for 17 days before we can take that next step? Like, how is that happening?
I don't understand because it says on the 17th day, he was told he was being released with no explanation. He took the clothes he had arrived in. He left the jail without any information. He walked miles to a McDonald's where he waited at a bus stop. He tried to clean himself up at the McDonald's bathroom. They kicked him out. The bus ride to Flagstaff, Arizona was a 12-hour trip. The bus broke down. He finally gets home, and then he calls a lawyer.
Isn't that the first thing you would do?
Yeah, I don't know.
And now maybe this is different. Maybe he called the lawyer to file a lawsuit. That's a separate thing. But like, this is baffling to me how you could be, you have to go through the process. Like people get released on bail or bond for real crimes. Legitimate things. How did you get held over for something like this? Without anybody being able to say, hey, by the way, this is not the same person.
Or a friend or a family member. And maybe he has friends because he was at a party, but maybe he doesn't have any family member. But you would think that somebody would try to help him.
You would think so. And I don't know.
Don't you have to have some evidence to hold somebody for 17 days?
They thought
the surveillance footage was it.
Right,
but they had the wrong guy.
Right. But I'm saying if he's not, was he at the place where the crime was committed at the time? Because you would think you'd have
it was at an airport. Yeah, it was a...
They don't have security DFW. Footage anywhere else in the airport. They could show him sitting at a gate.
Who knows, man?
He could say, listen, I was at gate D4 the whole time. Don't they have another camera somewhere over there where they'd be like, oh, look at that. That guy's right there.
It is just it's an absolute massive failure on all kinds of levels.
So your fear is no longer irrational to me.
Well, it never was in the first place because you know what?
But you called it that. You guys said we were talking about irrational fears.
We were trying to be nice.
I don't know that it is.
We were trying to downplay it.
I don't know that it is after hearing this story. So there's only one camera in the entire airport, and that's the one you're going by. You can't be like, yeah, guy, I wasn't at that store. I was over at my gate. I was sitting there waiting for my plane, and they could just like, okay, the camera for gate D4. Oh, yeah, there's Larry.
It's, I don't know what would happen if I'm in this situation. Mm-hmm. I'm in the jail. I get my phone call. Do I call a family member? Because the first reaction is call a lawyer.
Yeah.
How many of you have a lawyer on speed dial?
I have lawyer friends. So I might call one of them, but I'm more likely to
call family.
And
be like, hey, what do
family?
I do? Because I wouldn't know exactly where to go.
Yeah.
Like who I would talk to.
Yeah. I would call a lawyer friend.
Yeah. I don't know. I might also call my wife and have her reach out to them because she would have more time than me to do all that. But I mean, it's
his lawyer did say if this can happen to this guy, it can happen to anybody. Just to inject our hearts with a little bit more fear.
I withdraw. I don't know if it was criticism or mockery of that irrational fear. It is no longer irrational. So now I got to do the big boat, little boat thing for you, Ranch.
And what this also means...
That was the cutest fear.
It is. I'm so afraid of big boats. I am.
When you're in a little boat next to the big boat.
Also, the lesson here is never go into a store in the airport. I know your dreams.
I've been everything you want. KMOX is Cardinals Radio.
Tonight, the Cards, the Rays, Ameren Pregame Show 515, First Pitch 610 on KMOX and streaming on KMOX.com.
All right, it's the show on KMOX. Chris Ronji, Amy Marks, of course, Kevin Wheeler at the show, KMOX on Twitter. Text line 314-436-7900. What else did I want to know? Oh, Facebook.com/KMOX1120 if you want to see what's going on behind the scenes. You can't hear it during the breaks unless one of you guys doesn't have your mic muted. You guys all muted?
Yeah. Right, I don't want people to know what we're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, there's, probably wouldn't be great.
Going back to a conversation we had earlier, and you mentioned the Facebook stream if you want to watch us live. Laura says, I love cargo shorts for my husband.
Mm-hmm.
When he wears them, I don't have to carry everything in my purse. I don't even need to carry my purse because he can carry all my stuff in his pocket.
See? And more. And he can still fit all the other things that he needs.
And that is one of my peeves. I hate carrying things. I don't like a lot of stuff in my pockets. And I guess regular pockets. But I don't think I want all the weight, all the stuff like jingling around and... It, you know, in your shorts. I don't want that. I don't want to carry your stuff.
You do not want stuff jiggling around in your shorts.
You do not.
No, I'm just saying.
Amy, grow up.
No, I'm just saying you don't.
I mean, he did say it.
I know. I literally repeated back what you said. That's why
you
can have
need to grow up.
It's like a man bag. You can still be tough and carry.
We gotta do a better job with our terminology on the show here.
I would rather.
You guys are killing me.
Phrasing. I would rather have a man bag.
Can we just go with man purse, please?
I'd rather have a man purse.
There you go.
I would rather have a man purse than cargo shorts.
Also, can I ask a question?
I don't know.
Why can't it just be a purse, and why is it a man purse? Like, people do this
because you have to differentiate. I'm a man.
Well, it's the same thing. Yeah, it's a thing that holds other things. That's what it is.
That's why I said you can still be tough and carry your stuff.
Okay, but yeah. I like it better.
Personally,
just put it in the pockets.
I don't like purses. I can't switch out purses. I have like one purse and I use it until it completely falls apart. But I have been shifting to fanny packs. I love fanny packs. My hands are free. I am a fanny pack fan.
I'm okay with is it the sling bag where it kind of goes over your shoulder
and
it's small
and
like a fanny pack?
Yeah.
Like, I'm okay with that. I don't have one, but I would
avoid pockets.
Yes. I hate having stuff in my pockets.
So here's the thing. I have a couple of dresses with pockets. Once you have a dress with pockets, you never go back. Pockets are amazing. You can stick all your stuff in your pockets.
So pockets in dresses are okay, but not in cargo shorts.
Yeah, because you can't tell the dress has pockets. And like a lot of times, like jeans, they're too tight anyway. Like the way a lot of girls' jeans fits, you can't get put stuff in your pocket. So like a dress with pockets is great. Otherwise, I go fanny pack is a great.
I gotta be honest with you.
Yeah.
If you're judging people on cargo shorts, fanny pack is a way worse look.
I disagree.
Than cargo shorts.
I disagree.
And
it's more. Oh my god.
And it's more comfortable.
Oh my god.
I feel
god.
Like having okay having a lot of stuff in your pockets, whether it's cargo short pockets or regular pockets. To me, it feels like walking around with wet pants.
I would rather look like a...
Doesn't it feel like you're just bogged down, your pants are wet? It's the same uncomfortable feeling. I hate it.
Like, you can't sit on what's in your pockets. But then also, if you like move around, it could fall out of your pockets. Cargo shorts, to me, look like a man went fishing and saw his tackle box and thought, you know, wouldn't that be great if a tackle box were pants?
But sure, I just want to put an extra pocket on myself with a strap and call it something else.
Yeah.
Because that's what you're doing when you're going to the
it's
the
better
whole
to have
pack.
That weight up top than have it down
y'all are weird.
At your pants.
Y'all are weird.
Because like when you walked or, you know, things are flopping around, you know, it's not good.
Terminology.
Well, it is. I mean, if you have stuff in your pockets.
We're talking about pants. I don't know what you're talking about, Wheels.
I don't know. You guys keep making references.
We're talking about like having a wallet and having keys.
Okay. Yeah.
Good to specify.
That's why I try to carry as few keys as possible with me. I hate a set of keys in my pocket. I hate it. And I hate big wallets, so I have to have a slim wallet.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is all fair.
If
I carried stuff in my pockets, you couldn't use a big wallet. You have to use a small, slim wallet.
I use a slim wallet. Why are you anti-slim wallet?
I'm not. It just feels like you're way overthinking all of these things.
No. I'm not.
Here's what we're trying to do.
I put the keys in my pocket and I go immediately, that's uncomfortable. I don't want all these keys.
How do I not wear offensive apparel and still carry all my stuff?
How do you?
Yeah. It's by not wearing cargo pants and using any other means to carry stuff.
Yeah, use that.
You could use a Dierbergs bag and it would look better than cargo shorts.
Can you imagine going to some sort of like street fest and you don't have a purse, you're walking around with a Dierbergs bag Or like a Schnucks.
I learned that from my grandpa because when we were kids, our family would go to Destin, Florida, and we would do it the old-fashioned way in a minivan with a
Don't
Sears,
they have a big biker convention Sears every
cargo.
Year there?
I don't know.
No, I think it's in Daytona.
A Sears cargo thing on top of the minivan, and we would go with my grandparents, and we'd say, Papa, it's time to, you know, it's time to go to Florida, and he said, I'm packed. And it was a Dierbergs bag with his swimming trunks in it, and that's all he needed for a week-long trip to Florida.
I love it.
Yeah. He was a simple man.
I love that. Don't have to get too complicated. We have to have a fancy bag with a zipper. Just use this thing you're going to throw away, and it's going to go into the landfill. Give it some use before it does.
It was also on that trip to Florida that in the early morning, my dad's been driving all night, right? The kids are in the back, and we hit a traffic jam in this small town in, I don't know, Alabama. And my dad's like, how is there so much traffic in this small jam and then this small town? And then he realizes people are waving at us. We had driven into a parade. we were in a parade. And so we were waving in the minivan with our Sears cargo. My dad's like, how do I get out of this parade? And we had to go the entire route because the streets are blocked off with people waving at you. So my dad has driven 13 hours through the night with a family of six in a minivan and a Sears cargo about ready to blow off the top of the roof. We're in a parade.
Do you know how much I would lose it if I did that?
If you were in the parade, because you can't get out of the parade.
You can't get out of the parade.
Oh, I know. I'd be pounding the steering wheel come on! Let's go! What do you need this parade for in this little town?
He's laying on the horn.
Oh, no. I mean, seriously. No, I would be mad at myself for doing it, really. I mean, I would sit, but I...
Oh, my God.
I guarantee you, if my wife is listening, she's going to text me like, yep, you do that all the time.
How, I just don't even know how that's... How do you break into the route? Because...
issue with, I think it's me. I won a parade before.
So it's definitely you.
One time I was in the city of Wildwood. It was Wildwood days, and they were celebrating Wildwood, and they have this parade on Old Manchester. There's a handful of people who know what I'm talking about, and I'm running down Old Manchester, and it's the end of a long run, so who knows? I'm at 18, 20 miles, and all of a sudden people are clapping for me. There's people on the side of the road, and they're in their front yard, and they're going, first female! First female! And I'm like, what? And then I keep running, and then I realize as I pass the street, the Wildwood Parade, I was ahead of the color guard and the fire department, and I was running, and they thought there was a 5K, but it was just me. So I won the parade, and then an hour later, I went to Starbucks.
Were there cash in prizes?
No, but I went to Starbucks, and the firefighters came in, because they were getting coffee, and they looked at me, and they go, hey, are you the girl that won the parade? I did. It's like... Yes, I am.
Did you play it up or did you try to diminish it?
Oh, no. I enjoyed every
minute. You
got
to get to the end and be doing the Rocky, hands up in the air,
What is it with you and your family not just inserting yourself into parades?
I don't know.
The show, sponsored by Straight Realty, your St. Louis area experts. Why pay more than four? 314-441-4444.
This is the show.
The show continues on KMOX.
All right, back in on the show. Last segment before we got derailed on cargo shorts and such, we were planning on talking about what we're going to get to now. And if you'd like to chime in on this, feel free, 436-7900, because the discussion to me isn't about the main story that we're going to hit here to touch it off, but it's about basically kids in sports in general. But you guys saw this. We talked about it before the show.
Total Information AM this morning.
Yes, and there was a story on this that I heard on Total Information AM on the drive-in that in Olympic gymnastics now, they are going to make the minimum age for, I think it's both men and women, but I don't know
gymnastics
for sure.
Gymnastics or figure skating?
I'm sorry, this is figure skating, not gymnastics, but it's probably going to end up being the other one. But for figure skating, I don't know if it was for both men and women, but obviously the men tend to be older. In the figure skating competition, the women tend to be younger in that competition. Well, because there was a 15-year-old Russian girl who got caught up in a doping scandal in the Olympics and got chewed out by a coach very visibly, and it was kind of a black mark on the Olympics this year and all that. But because of those types of things, they've raised the age minimum. So now they're not going to allow 15-year-olds in the Olympics anymore. It's going to be 16 for a year, and then it's going to go up to 17 years old. So we're going to have an age minimum there going up, which to me, I don't really care about most Olympic sports. It's not like this is going to change anything about how I experience the Olympics, which is to not watch them. Mm-hmm. But in general, I don't like the idea of artificial limits on when you can compete. If you're one of the best in the world, you should be allowed to compete. Regardless of what, I have the same thing with the NBA where they have the stupid one and done rule, which I think is going away at some point. But like, why should I, if I'm good enough to go in the first round of the NBA draft, if I'm good enough to be a favorite for a medal in the Olympics, why should my calendar age limit me from doing that when I have a short shelf life as an athlete? I don't have until I'm 35 years old. I don't have until I'm 30 mm-hmm. in the figure skating world. You're now taking it to where I might go from two Olympics to one by shortening my window. And I think it's an overreaction to one story.
I suppose you might be able to make an argument that when it comes to children, it's a little bit of a different argument. That maybe in some cases, children are being exploited, and I think it happens here, but not to the same level it does in some other countries where mm-hmm. they're militant about it, about, you know, your child athletes, like in Russia or in China, like we're talking about here. And I think there are militant parents about mm-hmm. their kids in sports and who drive them and don't let them make any choices about whether or not they want to participate or want to play. In some other countries, you don't really have that opportunity, I think. So maybe it's you can make that argument, but for the most part, I do agree with you. If somebody is really good at something and they want to compete, I don't really understand the idea of keeping them from doing that if, you know, the competition level for them is not a problem. Like, you can compete against adults and still do really, really well. Let them do it.
And I think when you're looking at age minimums for kids, it is subjective. Mm. You do have to go sport by sport. And you use the term an artificial age limit. I think in a lot of ways that's a correct term for it, because you're picking an age 16. Let's start with Olympic gymnastics. When they recently said you have to be 16 years old, what's interesting is I think Simone Biles says she doesn't think it's a great decision. Nastia Lukin said, I wouldn't want to be a decision maker. This is difficult. Jade Carey said she thought it was the wrong decision because you only have so many years.
That's it. Yeah.
And if you're ready to go.
Right.
And 16 to me is a little bit different because it's not the difference between 15 and 16. We're not necessarily talking about prepubescent. I see an issue with having 10-year-olds in the Olympics, especially 10-year-old girls, and like what can be harmed, you know, how that can harm their bodies. Now, you could argue, well, it doesn't matter. They're still going to be doing the same training,
which is my argument.
Yes.
They're even if they can't go at 15,
yeah,
at 10 or 12, they're still in the same program.
But there's something to be said for not also putting that emotional strain on a 12-year-old, because at that age you do mature year by year. So maybe 15 to 16 seems arbitrary. I get that. 10, 11, 12, that to me seems irresponsible on the parts of an adult. And again, I don't have an example of a 12-year-old in the Olympics. We did have the Chinese athlete who was 14,
yeah.
And that kind of sparked the outrage.
And there are some young kids who might really, really want to do it.
Well, this
you know,
is the
and
big
that's,
thing.
And, yeah. And that, for me, that would be the difference. But I guess I don't know how you legislate that.
How do you regulate it?
Yeah, how do you decide this is the age you're not allowed to do it? I mean, for me, there's a lot of similarity to if you're really, really smart in high school, they will pass you early. Like, you can graduate high school at 14 if you're really intelligent and you can get to college and be done with it by 18.
Doogie Howser did it.
He did. What a brilliant doctor he was. I think actually my doctor graduated high school and college early. Mm. And so why would you hold them back? Because their level of intelligence and aptitude is greater than everybody else their age? Or do you let them continue through?
So I was homeschooled. One of the girls I homeschooled with graduated high school at 14. I think she got into Wash U. A 14-year-old has nothing in common with 18, 19, and 20-year-olds.
Right.
And so her parents did, I think initially they were going to go to college, and then she realized, we're going to do other things to supplement because she's not at a place as a 14-year-old.
And that's fine, too.
Right, but that's up to the family that knows them. There shouldn't be an artificial limit by some agency.
Right.
There shouldn't be somebody that's, a school could make that standard for themselves, But I don't think there should be a state government that says, well, you know, you can't do that at 14 or 15, but sure at 16. Like, it's
arbitrary.
Each person's different.
What if we know if something is damaging? And I will throw this out there. It's not Olympic gymnastics. I understand that. But most marathons have an age minimum of 16 to 18. Mm-hmm. And there was a kid, I think, was he 8, 10? He was very young, and his parents had him run a marathon, and it was awful. And also, that's damaging. An 8-year-old body should not be running
different.
26 miles.
That's different.
Right. And here's the thing. And says somebody that has coached in youth sports for 20 years and, you know, in St. Louis for the last 15 years, every one of these things is a responsibility on the parent's side. And what you have to understand and accept as parents is whether or not your kid wants to do these things. And I can't tell you how many times I've seen it where they don't. And yet they're there every week, all the time. You have to read and know your own child. And then you also have to take your own feelings out of it. They're not, you can't live vicariously through your kid.
Right. Then that's...
And you have to know their limits.
Very hard for people to do that. Some of them. Some are really good about it, but not all
parents
are.
Probably the majority, but the ones that aren't are the ones that really stand out.